Hey,
I'm ready.
We're recording. I'm so excited. This is the first episode in my new apartment.
Look at that backdrop. Stunning.
Yeah, this corner stunning, but meanwhile over here.
Real life.
Yes. So we're going to just turn this way and pretend that corner isn't here.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. But hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Girls We Get It podcast. I am Sam.
And I'm Julia.
And if, first of all, apologies for not having an episode the last like 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, we're sorry. Things have been a little hectic. So,
yes. And I also didn't have internet in this new place until a few days ago.
Yeah, it's hard to do this with no internet.
Right. So, yeah, but I did go live on Instagram last week. So if you missed it, it's saved on our Instagram page. I gave a little sneak peek of my apartment and like what it's looking like so far. And if you're not watching the video version, you can see a little bit of it behind me. My
the coffee bar.
I love it.
I love that there's three different machines.
Yeah, because that's, and I technically there's a fourth. I have my little espresso pot up top for the stove
nice.
Top. So,
just recently got a second coffee pot because I had an espresso and I was like, this is great. But then if you're making coffee for more than one person, or sometimes I even want like 2-3 cups like
and
on
then
the weekend.
Yes, those pods are expensive.
Yeah, you can't go wasting pods. So I found like this coffee pot randomly and I was like, it's been great. I forgot how nice it is.
I know you need to have different options for like, you know, if I want a cappuccino, I got my cappuccino maker. If I want regular drip coffee, if I want my Nespresso, if I want to just make some good old Italian espresso, I got all the options.
Yeah. You have it all.
So it's like nice. No need to go to a cafe or, you know, go get Starbucks or anything. I got it all here.
No, and Starbucks is getting wildly expensive. So you're saving money too.
And like everywhere is getting, even like the local places around here, which I'll tell myself like I'm supporting local business, but like I'm sorry, paying like $8 for a fucking coffee is insane.
It's really bad.
And I
Although
just can't.
I don't know about anyone else, this is my biggest beef of life maybe, but I always complain about Dunkin' not being consistent. I'm surprised this hasn't come up before, actually, because I spend a lot of time upset about this.
No, I feel like we have talked about this before.
Okay, we probably have. But you go and you get the same thing, like whatever iced coffee with cream and whatever flavor I want. Should be really easy. And it's either burnt or it's not done right or something is wrong with it.
Or
And
it's
it
just
drives
like
me crazy.
sugared milk.
Yeah, it's just pure sugar. It's just like there's like one drop of flavor where it's not enough. It's half cream. Like they can't get it right. And now you go to Dunkin' and it's like $4. Starbucks used to be $4. Now it's like freaking $7. I think I got an $8 drink there the other day. And
Well,
I was
because
like,
now I feel like they charge you for literally every little thing. Like, oh, you want
anything.
light ice? Costs more money. You
You're
want extra
charged.
ice? Costs money. You want this drink that already comes with a flavored syrup? You want it exactly as is. You just want a different flavored syrup? That costs more money.
I
It's like,
know. They're horrible.
What? Every little thing. It's ridiculous. And, you know, I can justify, I mean, not even, but like, if it's good, at least, and it's like you want to treat yourself once in a while, fine. I went to a new local place recently, and it was very cute there. But I got an iced shaken espresso. It was literally sugared milk. And I was like, coffee is not that, and it was like $8. Then, you know, after tip and everything, literally
Yeah,
an $8
because you
fucking
have to tip.
coffee that was like mostly ice anyway. And I'm like, there's not even any coffee in here. Like, what did I just pay for?
It's so you can't, I swear to God, you can't get a good coffee anywhere you go. And Starbucks being expensive.
You can get a good coffee here at
Well,
Sam's Home Coffee Bar,
at Sam's Coffee Bar.
where the
But I
coffee
used
is
to
always
think,
strong.
yeah, right? That's the other thing. I used to think Starbucks was good and consistent and they always got it right.
They used to
But
be.
lately, I got like a chai tea latte. Actually, a dirty chai tea latte. So I was expecting like a couple different flavors. Milk, just milk.
And
I've
also $10.
And also $10. So I was like, this is a complete waste of my life.
Oh, not me with the ad placement.
Dirt.
Don't
This
this way.
isn't sponsored, by the way. This video isn't sponsored.
It's not,
Get
but they
that thing
gave
out of
me this
here.
huge ass cup, and it's been great to put my lemon water in.
There you go. Anyway, let's get on with it.
Yeah, I was gonna like go on a whole rant and vent about annoying shit that happened today, but I'm like, let me not, because I feel like this episode is not about our issues and our
No,
drama. It's about
maybe next
yours.
episode.
Yeah. So we asked you guys like a million years ago at this point
I know, so bad.
to send us in your dilemmas, things that you want some advice on, a dear girls who get it. And I'm excited. I don't know if you looked at any of them yet, but I purposely didn't.
I also didn't look at any.
Perfect. I love the surprise element. So this message says, what is a personal way of saying, fuck this shit, I don't want to do it anymore? My manager asked me about 2 years ago to help out with this new project. It was stressful, but that good stress that would keep me busy, so I didn't mind. Only downside was I wouldn't be paid extra for doing it. Well, now they have completely changed the process and it is double the workload. Still not being paid to do it, though. It has gotten to be way too much on my work plate right now, and with my personal stress, I'm always so tired. What is a professional way to ask my manager to take me off the project and reassign it to someone else or pay me extra? Just like my resting bitch face, I tend to come across sometimes as being too harsh or bitchy when I don't mean to be. Don't want to lose my job, but not sure how much stress I can handle at this point. Thank you in advance for any help. Love you, lady, so much. Thanks for sending in your message. I can relate, oh, so much to that, especially like the resting bitch face thing.
Yeah, same.
Definitely. Yep, I know. And I'm the same way. Like, funny side story, I was like dealing with a brand deal situation and they were pissing me the hell off because they sent me like these guidelines. I followed the guidelines exactly. And then they were like, actually, we wanted this, whatever, all this other shit, wanted me to like reshoot it. And I'm like, but this was not in the original like guidelines you sent me. So, like, if you want me to redo it, I will, but like, pay me more then because I followed it, you know, whatever. And so I'm like trying to type out a response, and I'm on the phone with Guard because I'm like, he's so much better with words and with being like nice and professional. I should call him up and ask him advice for this one.
Yeah,
But I'm like,
maybe.
I'm reading him what I wrote, and he was like, that is so like aggressive. He was like, maybe word it this way instead.
Yeah.
So I totally can relate to that because I can come off a little harsh.
I have such strong reactions to things, like at first. Like at work, I need to reel it in for real. But I'll get so heated over certain things. There's this one guy at work. He's the same way. I think it's because we're Aries. That's my theory. But they'll call him the Badger. They'll be like, oh, the Badger's out, because he'll be like, ah, like what the heck? And then the one day I was fired up about something and my boss goes, whoa, Badger Junior, like gotta relax. And I'm like, it's so hard for me because that's just kind of my personality a little bit. So I kind of struggle with approaching things. I don't want to say I'm not like not professional about it, but not at first. I'm not professional about it at first. My favorite thing to do, I don't know what kind of, does she say what kind of job?
She wasn't specific at all about
like on a project
what she does. Yeah.
My favorite thing to do, because a lot of bigger companies, and I'm sure even smaller, I'm just not sure what places do, but we have work instructions, we have job descriptions that list your responsibilities specifically. I would kind of call on that and be like, hey, this is kind of taking up too much of my time. It's not under my normal duties, you know, in my job description. And I'm wondering if there's some way that we can like rework it. I don't, because my initial reaction would be to complain to someone and be like, can you believe they're making me do this shit? Or like, I can't keep doing other people's work. Because that's how I react immediately. But then when I take a step back, I could be like, okay.
Yeah, I think it's never a good idea to just react on emotion when you're, you know, especially in a work setting, which is what I used to do that. I got a text. That was part of what was stressing me out today. I got a work-related text that really pissed me the fuck off. And, you know, young me, 20, early 20s Sam, would have went the fuck off. I have in the past. But, you know, I composed myself. I was like, okay, I'll just handle this professionally. But, yeah, I think that is great. And I would maybe approach it like, you know, I am very, like, honored that you wanted me to do this project, that you wanted to put me on this project, that you trust me enough and think that my work is good enough to handle this. However, I just have a little too much on my plate right now. This is extra work, but like you said, not part of my standard position and what my salary is paying for. So is there a way that we can kind of like negotiate some terms that we both feel comfortable with that make it more fair?
Yeah, because companies, they'll use and abuse you if, you know, they can.
Yeah, and
oh,
I mean,
yeah, here.
Right, and it's hard to say, like, without a little more context. Like, I don't know if it's, like, a big corporate company you work for, in which case, like, they probably don't give a shit about you. But it, or if it's, like, a smaller company where you can speak up a little more, so. But I mean, I don't think you would get fired for that. I think that that's totally.
You shouldn't, just for
reasonable.
Saying like, hey, this is a kind of a lot for me and I'm not getting compensated. So
exactly. And it's outside of like what your position is supposed to entail.
Yeah. It shouldn't be too far out there to say that and get like a good reaction. But I don't know. In this world these days, it's like kind of crazy. So
yeah, but you definitely should speak up and say something, because if you just continue overworking yourself and like all that's going to happen is you're going to feel more resentful towards your job and your company, and you're going to get to a point where you just break and flip out and end up
actually
storming out.
Now that I think of it, a similar thing happened to me. I was kind of taking on, I was doing like my normal job, my normal work, or I was trying to. And then on top of that, we had all these new people that had started. And I mean like three new people that all needed to be shown how to do things. I had been there the longest, so it just kind of fell to me to be showing them. And I really saw that like my own work, like I would forget things and I would, you know, my own work was, I'm blanking on like the way to say this, compromised, because I was pulled in different directions and I was kind of distracted, honestly. So, and I wasn't getting paid for training all these new people, which was fun. And I did bring it up to management. I was like, it's kind of a lot and I don't know why I'm doing it because I wasn't even, I was not the proper person to do it. But it can definitely affect your own work. And then you're kind of like giving half of your, if you're like me, I was kind of half-assing like both because I'm trying to do both.
Right. You can't give 100% to, everything.
No, you can't do it all. So I would hope they could understand that. I mean, the quality of work.
That's affecting them.
Right, of course.
Right.
Maybe and you're nothing then, like me, but, and you can keep up with both, but.
But even still, like, and then you're just going to be stressed, and then that's going to spill into your home life, and it's just, like, it's not worth it, it's not healthy. Like, we should not be killing ourselves for jobs that will literally replace us in a heartbeat. I wish I was better at coming up with, like specific phrases on the spot like that. Yeah. That's something I would like have to sit and brainstorm.
I know. Oh my God, I would type it out. If it's an email, I sit there and I will type out an email and then I'll go back through and read it and then I'll change the whole, it's like whatever I write out first is a draft. And then I read it out loud to my other coworkers and I'm like, how does this sound? And then I finally send it. So something like that I would also like workshop.
It's interesting. I wonder a lot. I've always thought this, like asserting yourself in a professional setting. I don't mean to get like all, bringing sexism and all that into this, but like, I don't think that men sit around and worry about that. Like, oh, do I sound too bitchy? Does that sound mean? Am I being too aggressive?
I agree. Actually, my friend and I, when we were sending, she and I worked together for like about a year, and we would send these emails and we'd be like, we should write more like men. Men will send you emails, men in our industry, I'm sure men everywhere, but we work with a lot of men. And they'll send emails, they won't even put hello, they won't even put your name, they'll just say what they want to say and nothing else. I'm like, this is not a team's message.
I'm sitting there typing out emails and I'm like, did I put too many exclamation points? Did I not put enough exclamation points? Should I put a smiley face? Would that be unprofessional? I want them to know that I have a friendly tone.
I know. I'm like, good morning, whatever their name is. Can you please provide blah, 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 blah. Thank you so much. Please let me know if you have any questions, exclamation point. I've kind of stopped doing that just because it doesn't seem like people care all that much. If it's like a team's message, like a direct message, that's a little bit different. But in an email, I'll be like, I'm typing like a man. I'll be like, we're going to need this. Thanks.
I've been doing the same thing. I've been doing the same thing, like just not over complicating it with the greetings and the,
yeah, there's no, I don't know. I don't know if there's a point or if people just look at you like, oh my God, okay. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
Have our next one. And she left us a little note at the top, so I'll read that too. She goes, hi, I've been listening to your podcast since the start, which we so appreciate.
Yeah,
I've been following Sam before beauty school, and I love that we've gotten to know Julia on the pod. I love that both of you bring different takes based on your own individual personal experiences. My question is, what are your thoughts on having sex during the dating period? When I skimmed that, I thought she was talking about sex on your period. So I, my response now is different. When is it too soon, or is it, to be intimate with someone you've recently started seeing? And do you think men lose interest after sex?
I love this question.
Me too. I don't want to say I have like a lot of experience with this, but I probably have more than some. And to be honest, I think it mostly depends on the man. and what they're looking for and where they're at in their life. But with that in mind, I do think some men, not all by any means, but some might be like, oh, I can sleep with her like within a date or two. That's not the, I don't know, like if they see, how do I say this? That as just like,
there's nothing to work for.
Yeah. And then like, they'll just kind of use you until, like, if it's so available to them, then yeah, there's nothing to work for. And they're like, okay, whatever. And I don't think, like, there's a couple, not a couple. The Love Bomber was like that for sure, where it was like, it was, and it started as casual anyway, so, like, whatever, but he didn't have to really do anything and put any effort in, and he was never really gonna. And then he was like, ah, moving on. Like, I think some guys are just like that, and that's them. But other guys, I mean, I don't think it matters.
That's what I was gonna say, because this is a question that I find so fascinating, and I have talked to so many different men about this.
Yeah.
And pretty much everyone says the same thing. If you sleep with a guy right away and then he loses interest, he was going to lose interest in you no matter what. It doesn't
Right.
matter when you slept with them, if you slept with them at all. Like, it was never going to go anywhere anyway.
Right. I believe
so,
that.
Because, like, we both, like, I mean, my boyfriend now, God, we've been through a lot. It's been a lot of years in the friggin' making. And I slept with him right away. And he didn't lose interest. Like, we were, like, infatuated with each other from day one. Like, it didn't change anything.
Right.
But it really just depends on the guy. And that's not to say, like, because I'm pretty sure he's done that, where, like, he was messing around with someone else, slept with them, lost interest, whatever. It really, I feel like there's not, it's totally out of your control. It just
Right.
depends on the guy and where they're at in life and if it's the right fit or not. And it doesn't matter. And honestly, like, if you feel comfortable and that's what you want to do, then go for it. As long as, you know, you're being safe, who cares? Like, don't worry
I
about
agree.
what is too soon or whatever, what society might think or what your friends might think. Like, who cares?
I also wonder if men even think about that at all. Like, oh, she's gonna think less of me if I go for it the first date.
Absolutely not.
No. Like, no. And it really, like, now that you said it, kind of depends on the situation. I was thinking of when I saw somebody I was seeing on the Facebook thing, where it was like, are we dating the same guy? And these girls were in there like, I mean, he was the worst, so they had that right. But someone was like, oh, you know, we went on one date, he came home with me, and he blocked me, and I never heard from him again. And another one was like, oh, he'll call you every other day, but he never texts and he never answers a Snapchat or like stuff like that. But then in my experience, I was getting daily phone calls and I was getting texts all the time and I was getting Snapchats all the time that he always responded to. And like, there's no rhyme or reason like that you can pinpoint. It's just them. Like, they're gonna do what they're gonna do. And there's no way for us to know how that's going to go. I mean, like you said, like, you didn't wait long to be intimate with Guard. I also didn't. And things are fine. It really just depends on the guy and the time they're in.
It's not like there's anything special about me because I've been with other people right away and never fucking heard from them again.
No, exactly. Oh, exactly.
So, like, it's really just out of your control. And also, I feel like there's so many books that are like, oh, how to make any man fall in love with you, or how to play the game right, or how to do it. Like, no. First of all, if you have to be doing shit like that and like manipulating people into falling for you and respecting you or whatever, like, that's just fucking weird. You shouldn't have to do that. It's not genuine. It's, I don't feel like that's going to lead into like a good, healthy, lasting relationship.
I agree.
If it's right and you're right, you're the right people for each other, it will just work out.
Yeah.
Whether you sleep together right away or not.
I just think in general, like, there should be no game. It shouldn't be like, it feels like a game to be like, well, I have to wait 78 hours to sleep with them or else they're not going to take me seriously, or like, I have to do this in order, like, that doesn't, I don't think that's normal, but it feels so normal in like our dating world, because it's really simple. It's like, if somebody likes you, you will know. And if you have to like wonder, or if they're like being weird, then chances are
right,
they
and
don't
like the
like you
guys
that
that are
much.
only treating you well and only putting in effort because they're trying to sleep with you, by you prolonging that and waiting and putting it off, like, you're just getting fake effort and fake behavior. And then as soon as you sleep with them, even if it's months after meeting, they're probably going to end up ghosting you anyway. Like, so why?
Yeah.
You don't want those people. Honestly, I think the sooner you get it out of the way, A, you know if the chemistry is there and you know what you're dealing with, and B, you know, like, if they end up sticking around after, you know, like, okay, like, this could actually be a decent person. Let's see if, like, we're right for each other.
I agree. I really don't think it matters.
Yeah, I don't either. But on it, like, I feel like if anything, do it sooner rather than later.
I yeah, don't waste your time.
Yeah,
Don't
like, if
waste
you
your
feel
time.
Comfortable, if the timing feels right, do it.
Yeah, why not? Men aren't out there being like, oh no, I can't get with her. They're definitely not. I've been watching Love is Blind season 6.
Me too.
Okay, great. We're gonna have to discuss it like once I'm all the way caught up. But a lot of men are just dogs, so it doesn't really matter, I don't think. I'm shook
It's
by
true.
this season. So far, it's kind of been spoiled for me a little bit, so I'm not even into like the honeymoon where they all are on vacation yet. So they're still in the pods. And I just know of some things that happen, and I'm like, these men, I can't.
I know. I've been skipping around a little bit. I always find the pods part boring.
I know, it's boring, and they like miss so much of it anyway. So, like, I don't really know if I care to watch all of it. Because the
Right.
people, you're like, wait, how are you guys a couple? I didn't see you talk at all, you know?
Right, or then there'll be other people that you see in the background, and it's like, wait, where were their
Who,
dates?
yeah,
Like, who is
like,
that?
who is that? I
Yeah.
know. So, I can't wait to get into that later.
Yeah, once, oh, I think actually today, I think they released more episodes.
Oh, good. I can binge this
So,
weekend.
yes, we'll get caught up and then we can talk about it next week, because
Perfect.
it's a good season. I haven't watched the last few because they just seemed boring. Like, since
Yeah.
Shake, the Shake season, I feel like was the last, like, good
Yeah.
one.
I know. I agree. I didn't watch the last. I don't think I watched 4 or 5.
Yeah, me neither. It'll be fun to dissect that. Okay, let's do our next message. This one says, hey ladies, give me some advice. This is about some mother-in-law and sister-in-law drama.
Ooh.
So early December, I gave birth to my son. Going into every detail would take ages, but basically, mother-in-law has always used guilt tactics and plays victim in literally every interaction I've had with her. She has a lot of health issues, which I have always deeply sympathized with, as I am an empath and quite sensitive. But it gets to the point of her emotionally abusing her family, and it has been enabled for years. My boyfriend, we are engaged, and yes, he is the father of my child, gets extremely drained talking to her. Him and the rest of the family have begged her to get help, and she refuses. I am also a victim of childhood abuse and just cannot tolerate her on so many levels. Now she feels entitled to babysit her son and be a grandma. And because we have to supervise her holding him due to her health issues, she has been crying to the rest of the family, saying that we're taking away her chance to be a grandma, which isn't true. She can hold our son as long as she wants, within reason, of course. But the only rule we have for her is to have either myself or my boyfriend sit beside her in case her arms give out. The last time she was over, she was readjusting her seating position and our sleeping son started falling forward. So my boyfriend just gently put his hand on him to keep him from completely falling. And his mom said, "I've got it," with quite the tone in her voice. It's like, if you can't respect one simple rule for our child's safety, then you cannot hold him at all. Since then, I haven't spoken to her, and my boyfriend barely talks to her in general because of her emotional abuse. Now, sister-in-law is talking crap about us to the rest of the family, saying we aren't being fair to her mom, and it seems the family is just being divided. In my opinion, it's toxic, and I don't really want anything to do with it, but I can see how much hurt my boyfriend is experiencing. It isn't fair what he has and continues to go through with his family, particularly mom and sister. Would you go no contact with either mother-in-law or sister-in-law? If so, how would you go about it if you were in my shoes? Or would you try a different approach? I did try talking to sister-in-law, but she turned it around on me and made it all worse. I'm scared talking to mother-in-law will also make everything much worse due to her emotional maturity level. What would you all do? LOL, love you guys. Keep up the awesome podcasting. Thank you.
I feel like there's so much I could say. I feel like my sister recently had my nieces, and so I could like witness this stuff just from her. I think babies and weddings bring out the worst in people in a way that like you don't even consider. Like suddenly, especially for babies, everybody else around you seems to feel a certain entitlement to your baby. But I'm a grandparent, but I'm this, but I'm that. Oh, hold on. You had your chance. You were the parent once, and now you are not the parent. So there are boundaries that you have to respect, and if you don't respect them, then there are probably going to be consequences or repercussions or however you want to say it. Like, it blows my mind that people act that way. I would hope that, like, I hope that my sister, I hope I respect all her boundaries, and I hope that she doesn't think I overstep or whatever. I try to just do everything they do with the girls. I ask before I do certain things. I, like, if it's not your own kid, you do not have the right to really make any decision at all unless somebody says, "Hey, yeah, you can do whatever," which I don't even know really happens. It just amazes me that people go there. If I were you, I feel like I can kind of relate to this just from all that, but you have to like you also matter and your feelings also matter. And if it's stressful for you or distressful to you to be around her or to interact with her, I don't see a problem with taking a step back. You've explained to her like your boundaries and what you expect from them. She has ignored that, and I don't know what she expects. It's like one of those things, well, I'm the grandparent, so I get to do this. No, you don't.
Right.
I'm sorry, you don't. And you can either respect the boundaries that are set, or maybe you don't see your grandkid, maybe you don't see your, like, I don't know. But people just walk all over you, or they're like, the thing that bugs me the most is like holding babies or people kiss babies or whatever. Like, you can't do those things if the parent isn't comfortable with it. You can't.
Right.
It'll never.
It's,
I could go on and on.
I feel like it would be a different situation if like this was, you know, a logical thinking person. But it just sounds like from all of the history, because I know people that are like this, where it's like,
me too.
They are such narcissists. Everything has to be woe is me. And they always have to get their way. And if they don't, they'll throw a fit and act like get all emotional and start crying and shit like that. It's like, oh, please. Like,
and everything's about them.
Yes,
it's about
and I
them.
Feel like people like that, you cannot reason with them. And it's literally, you have two options. It's either it goes completely her way and you do everything to appease what she wants and you have to just ignore what, you know, any logic or what you feel comfortable
and
with.
Your own, yeah.
Or you just say no more and cut that person out of your life. Or, you know, set boundaries and stick to those boundaries. And if she wants to respect the boundary, great. If she doesn't, goodbye. You can stay over there. Yeah. But I get that it's, I'm sure, very tough for the boyfriend because it's like that's his biological family, and it's like, as much as that's toxic and it's stressful and you don't want to deal with it, like, it's also hard to just cut off your family completely.
Right.
And like, I'm sure, even though it's probably exhausting and you roll your eyes seeing your mother upset, so it's like, here she goes, like, doing her manipulative shit again, but also like, it's hard to see your mother be upset. So God, I can only imagine how hard that probably is. But I think, like, I mean, yeah, if I were in her shoes, I would just personally, because I just do not have any, I can't tolerate that shit. I would just be like, goodbye, fuck you.
Well, how old did she say the baby was?
She said the baby
did
was born
say?
In early December.
That's so a little baby.
It's
like
a
you're
fresh baby.
You're adjusting to having a new baby. And then that on top of it, I'm sorry. I would be like, you need to leave me alone for a while. And like, maybe we can revisit this. But you shouldn't have to make yourself uncomfortable. I mean, I can imagine it's already kind of, maybe not uncomfortable, but it's a lot. And then to have to worry about her feelings is selfish for her, to be honest. I think it's like a little, it's selfish. For her to be like, I can't hold my grandkid. Like, they, if the parents don't feel safe with someone holding the kid.
Well, it's not even like they're not letting her. They are letting
right.
her, but they
so,
just
like,
want to
stop
stand
complaining.
by.
I would
Right.
be the same way.
Yeah. I mean, they are, the parents are completely reasonable. If you ask, like,
yeah,
very,
I would
very
have to be like,
and fair. But
I would have to draw the line and be like,
I think it's just a conversation that you and your partner need to have. And, you know, like, what does he want to do? What do you guys both feel comfortable with? And I wouldn't worry, like, her going around and, you know, the sister-in-law talking crap about you guys. Who cares?
Right.
Honestly, who gives a fuck what she's saying and what other people think? Like, let them hate you all they want. If that's how they feel,
right.
Like,
because it
who
sounds
cares?
Like you're the reasonable one, and the fact that they're putting a new mother through this is like come on,
it's insane. It really
that's exactly
is
what you want to deal with when you don't have much sleep and you're like this whole new life. You want to deal with that on top of it.
Yeah, adjusting
definitely.
To this huge life change, it's really, they're not at all taking your feelings into account. It's
no,
very,
so why should
very
you,
selfish.
yeah, why should you take theirs into consideration if they just are completely ignoring your boundaries and your
right.
thoughts and feelings? Like, if you can work it out where you can like take a step back, that's what I would do, to be honest.
And it
There's
just
no
sounds
need.
like with the, you know, childhood trauma and all that, it sounds like there's so much shit, like that whole family, it sounds like, needs a lot of therapy to even begin to smooth things out. And it's like, it's just a lot. And I wouldn't take that, I wouldn't put all that weight on your shoulders, you know? Just focus on you and your baby.
Yeah. They're adults too. Like, they can sort out their own emotions and feelings, and like, I can kind of relate to this, and I would step back. I'd be like, no, you're done. I tried and you're done. And I hope that works out for you. Hopefully you can be comfortable, you know?
It's tough when it's family, because if it's just like a friend or, you know, something, it's like, okay, fuck you.
Yeah, get out of here. But yeah, family's tough. Next up, dear girls who get it, I need advice. So I have this girlfriend of a few years, and she has always been kind of flaky, even when she's the one making the plans. How do you guys handle flaky friends? I get everyone is busy and has their own lives, but I just cannot justify ghosting friends after making plans to meet up. Am I being dramatic? I think not.
I was going to say, as the flaky friend myself,
oh my God.
I totally get it, because I do this a lot, and I don't like to, I don't mean to, but here's the thing. I don't know what the deal is with like this friend, but personally, and maybe, you know, she's also, it's the same kind of thing. I am very introverted naturally, and I get overly stimulated, and my social battery runs out very easily. Sometimes when I'm in the moment, I will make these plans, or I will agree to plans, because in the moment I'm like, yeah, that sounds great, I would love to do that, totally. And then the time comes and I'm like, oh my God, I do not want to leave my house right now. I just don't have the energy and like the mental capacity, and I'll get like kind of anxious about leaving the house, and then I feel so bad because I'm like, I need to stop making plans if I'm not going to stick to them. And I hate being flaky, but
flaky.
I just am, yes. And that's just what it is. It's like, in the moment you make the plan and you think it's going to be great and you're going to want to do it, and then the time comes and you don't, and you panic and you feel bad about being flaky. So then you're just like, oh, hopefully they just forgot, or they won't mind, or I'm just going to not say anything and hope that they forgot.
I feel like if there's communication, I probably don't care if they're like, hey, I know we had these plans, but even if they're just like, I don't feel like it, fine. As long as it's communicated within a reasonable amount of time. Like the one time my friend Maddie and I, we had gone out, and then we were like, let's go to the farmer's market the next morning. Well, we had gone out and gotten like a little more drunk than we expected, and we were both in bed, like hungover the next morning. So we're texting and we're like, farmer's market, like in an hour? And I was like, yeah, like I guess I'm kind of dying. And she was like, I'm dying too. And then it was just like a mutual like flake, I guess. Or just like, forget it, you can't do it. But like, if I'm literally getting ready to go out with you and you're like, oh, and it's like 15 minutes till I would be leaving, I'd probably be annoyed. I'd be like, what the fuck? What am I supposed to do now?
Yeah, I think I'm more likely to do it if it's like group plans, because I'm like, okay, well, if I just don't show up, everybody else is still gonna have a good time. It's not a big deal. But
yeah.
But even when it's one-on-one, I still do it sometimes.
If it's like one-on-one, I'll be like,
because here's the thing too, like sometimes I'll know, I'm like, okay, I have plans tonight at 7, I'm supposed to go to dinner, and I'm like, I really don't want to, but I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna force myself, and like I'm all day, I'm just thinking about it, and then it's like around the time when I should be starting to get ready, and I'm just like, oh my God, I just really don't want to fucking go. And then that's how it ends up being like a last minute bail.
I feel like I'm not as introverted as I thought, because if I have dinner plans, I kind of don't do that much, like, in a normal week anyway. Like, it's kind of, I don't make many plans, but if I have like my friends and I were talking about going to dinner in a couple weeks, and I'm already like, all right, where are we gonna go? And maybe it's because I'm like food motivated. I'll be like, what are we eating? Like,
Yeah. Well,
what's
and but
there gonna be?
sometimes I do get really excited and I'll be like looking forward to it all week, and then it's like it's great. But then sometimes I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's I just don't want to leave the house sometimes.
I understand. I think this, it seems like she doesn't, she must not communicate. She, yeah, because it says, I can't justify ghosting friends after making plans. Also, if you make the plans with me and then you just like aren't responding to me, I probably wouldn't ever agree to make plans with you again. I'd be like, are you
Yeah.
sure? How about you tell me, like, and then if I make plans, like, in the event that you ghost and you don't ghost, like, I don't know.
Right.
I would probably
That's
just take
true.
her making plans as, like,
Like,
a
that's not actually
25,
gonna
like,
happen.
that's not gonna happen. And then.
Yeah, I think ghosting, like just bailing on plans and ghosting is not cool,
No.
obviously. And I
That's
don't think
not
I do
fair.
that, but I can relate to like the anxiety of just like backing out and then feeling bad about it and then it being
Right.
like, I don't know. It's all, I think it's all
I
anxiety related.
probably for most people. Some people probably just don't care also. They'll be like, oh, something
That's
better came
true
up. I'm just gonna
too.
ghost.
That's true too. I mean, I don't want to give her benefit of the doubt. She could just be a shitty friend.
Could be.
But I
I
always
don't.
like, I feel like with friendships is you always got to evaluate. And I think that it's, you can have like your good friends that you feel like you can always count on for everything. Like they are family to you. They are your rocks. And then you have other friends that you kind of keep at an arm's distance. And it's like they're good for certain moments, certain things. But you
Right.
can't necessarily
Certain.
rely on them for everything.
Yeah, I agree.
So you got to
I don't
evaluate,
think.
like, is she a good friend? Like, yes, maybe she's flaky when it comes to making plans, but is she a good friend in other aspects? You know?
Right.
In which case, then keep her around, but maybe like don't try to make plans with her.
Right. Like.
You know?
I don't think she's being dramatic though. I wouldn't say that's dramatic. I would be annoyed too. I'd be like, stop making plans with me if you are never gonna
No, it
come
is annoying
through.
though. Like it's inconsiderate of your time. I mean, it's like the same thing if you're making an appointment for something and then you just no
Right.
show. That's fucking
Yeah.
inconsiderate.
I totally agree. Oh, that always bugs me too, like people being inconsiderate.
All right, next one. I've been in a relationship for almost 8 years. We've been engaged for almost 3. We moved across the country to start a new life about 2 years ago with our two dogs. Over the past year or so, I've been starting to get a little weary about us. He suffers with depression and anxiety, but due to finances and lack of insurance, he hasn't been able to get ahead of it, and he has been using me as a crutch and dragging me down in a sense. I've always been his main support system, and he has an incredibly broken family. He lost his mom 2 years ago, right before we moved as well, so he is overall struggling. We haven't had sex in months, and I ended things with him back in August, but he begged me to work it out with him. My heart is not in this anymore, and I'm struggling with how to express that to him without sending him in a bigger spiral. I also can't afford to live on my own at the moment, so that's another thing stopping me from ending this. I feel so insanely stuck and frustrated. Oh, girl.
That is tough.
That's a lot, but also I can relate.
Moving across the country is sometimes I think about that. Like when I moved, I didn't move across the country by any means. I moved 3 hours away. But I think about it, like I'm starting a life here, and if I would have to go back home, like how do you do that? Like before I bought my house, I was like, okay, this is like permanent. So if things don't work out up here, like that's kind of something you have to deal with. So that
I mean,
alone
even the
is
logistics
difficult.
of it, like, it's expensive.
It's so expensive, especially on your own now. Like,
8 years is a long time to walk away. But my first serious relationship was almost 8 years as well. And that's hard. That's real
Yeah.
hard. And I totally understand the guilt of you just feel so over it. But like, you don't want to break this person's heart and you don't want to leave them when they're like at a really low point and struggling
Right.
and they need a support system and you're kind of all they have. And it's like, you kind of need him in a way too, as a roommate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard
Oh.
because, like, if you feel he's dragging you down, I mean, that's not a good situation for either of you. And I do believe in putting yourself first in some aspects.
Well, no, you have to put yourself first, because how can you show up to the relationship and be like a good supportive partner if you're not, like, you can't
You
pour from an
can't.
empty cup, like they
Yeah,
say.
you can't. You still have to take care of yourself.
I feel like that's sort of similar. I mean, obviously, we didn't have the whole like moving across the country aspect, but even like my situation with Guard. I mean, that's why we broke up and why I chose to leave, because it was kind of a similar thing where, I mean, we both kind of had our own issues, but he was going through a phase where he was like really lost and going through mental health things and trying to figure it out. And it was like, I kind of felt the same way. Like, I felt like I was trying to, like, all of my energy was getting drained and I was trying to be
Yeah.
supportive, although I wasn't being the most supportive. Like, I was kind of an asshole, and you know, so like there was, I had my own part in it, but also it's hard when you have someone that's like going through something and they're not doing anything to help themselves and you feel like
Yeah.
you can't do anything to help them, and it's like, well, now what? Like, we're just going to be stuck in this rut. Like, I can't live my life like this. Like, you need to do something and like pull yourself out of this. So for me, the answer was leaving and
Yeah.
ending things. And it was really fucking hard, because it's really horrible to see, like, when you already feel sad and emotional about something, and then to see this person that you care about so much also like an emotional wreck.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to do that. But
I feel like you can't. I feel like a lot of people get in these situations where maybe one partner is going through it and the other isn't so much, and it can definitely change. I mean, 8 years, there's ups and downs, you know, but there's nothing you can do for somebody that they, like, if they're not doing it for themselves, that doesn't mean that you need to, like, try to do it. You can't do it for them. They have to want to do it themselves. And I know she says lack of insurance and finances, which I understand. I was trying to get back into therapy last year, and I did what's it called, BetterHelp. I think we've mentioned this before, but like, I got on BetterHelp. That costs money. I also didn't like that form of therapy. I don't like to do it online. That's another story. But like, then there's Cerebral. That also costs money. It costs money to, you know, go. Like, it's hard because mental health isn't as, like, I don't think it's seen as something that's important to maintain good mental health, or, oh, well, that's gonna be on the back burner because I have stuff to pay for, you know? And it's easy to do that because, you know, you can manage, but when you can't,
well, and
then
it's expensive. And if you,
it is.
Because when I was trying to start therapy at the time, I was on like state insurance. And there were some therapists in the area that took that insurance. Very few. But then the ones that did were so overbooked that they couldn't get me in. I couldn't get an appointment.
Right.
So it's really hard.
You can't sit in it. You know what I mean? I was in a horrible place last year and it was very difficult. And a lot of the days would just like sit in it and be like, this is so horrible. Everything sucks. Like all the stuff, depressed, anxiety, all of it. But if you don't do anything for yourself, it's not going to get better. So it's like not up to her to help him pass what I'm sure she's already done. But as far as what she should do, if you know your heart's not in it.
It's so tricky because of the whole aspect of like you not being able to afford it. But I mean, you can look and find a roommate if you need to, find a girl to live with.
You can't help him if he doesn't want to help himself also.
Exactly. And I almost feel like when you're going through something like that, and maybe I'm just like a tough love kind of person, but I feel like you need a wake-up call to like force you to snap the fuck out of it. And I think when you have someone there that's like your comfort and your safety net, it's almost enabling you to just stay stuck.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
And I mean, in my own personal situation, like that was the case. And me ultimately leaving and kind of like creating this big disruption is what helped everything finally like get the wheels turning again.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if she's saying her heart isn't in it, I feel like it's not fair for either of them, you know?
Yeah, that's very true.
It's right, definitely not fair to her. And it's, you know, if you're just kind of
with someone that's like not even feeling it anymore. Yeah.
It's really hard though. I mean, that's a long time. And I'm sure you were engaged. Or you've been engaged. So you obviously thought and planned a future together.
Yeah. God, it's so sad. And like, no matter what, I wish there was like an easy answer. Like, oh, do this and everything will be better and it'll be fine. But like, no matter what, this is going to be really fucking hard and really sad and emotionally difficult. But you got to like put yourself first at the end of the day and just do what you got to do.
I also, like, my dad's always, I can think 10 years into the future and be like, oh no, this is going to happen or this is going to affect this person or whatever. And a lot of the time he's just like, one day at a time. You don't know what the next year is going to bring. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know anything really about the future. So you making a decision right now doesn't necessarily mean it's the end. You could remain friends. I mean, you never know. So
true.
Yeah, I find myself focusing a lot on like future things and I have to be like, okay, chill. You can it's only like, do so much.
What's the short-term solution for like right now? Don't get caught up.
You have to do what's best for yourself in like today, not, oh, but this will trigger this and this will happen and if I do this and there's no sense. I mean, there's really no telling what will happen tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, I really feel for you though. That's
really tough.
I hate that so much. Like I think one of the worst feelings is breakups in general, like every aspect of it.
But I wish you the best.
I do too. And please keep us updated because everyone that wrote in, I'd love updates.
Yeah, me too. We'll be looking for them.
But we are running out of time. So that is going to be the last one. But did we have more?
I'm not sure.
Well, if we did, or if you guys want to send in some more, I would love to do another one of these. This was really fun.
Let us know if you liked this kind of episode. Maybe next time we'll just vent about our own stuff. but.
And we got to talk about Love is Blind next time.
Oh my gosh, I'll be ready next week for sure. I'll be caught
Yeah.
up.
Yeah, let us know. Comment down below or reach out to us on Instagram. Let us know if you're watching this season and like what are your thoughts, and we'll include
Please.
your comments.
I just want to put this out there. I don't know if I'm a fan of Jessica. I know everyone thinks she's hotter than Chelsea or whatever. I don't know if I'm a fan. And I'm also not sure how I feel about Clay. And also, I know that Jimmy ends up being an asshole based on some spoilers. I don't like him either. Anyway, we'll discuss this in a later episode.
Yeah, yes, yes. So much to discuss about it. But thank you guys so much for listening, watching. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we'll see you next Friday with a new episode.
Me too.